This audio is brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry, the place to go for advanced dental technology and compassionate, patient-centred care. You can trust your smile with an expert team that puts your comfort first. This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.
Okay, well, good morning. Looks like we have a few items on the agenda. We can go ahead and get started. I think Councilman Haskins won't be here this morning, and I don't think the inspector will be here either. So I think everybody's here that's going to be here. So looks like we have some nice folks. Oof, the press is here. Looks like we have some nice folks from the Children's Center that want to talk to us. So yes. The floor is yours, ladies.
Okay. Where would you like us to be?
Come on up. Speak loud. It's being recorded.
So I'm Brittany. I'm the new director. This is only my second month, so I'm very fresh. So please be patient as I'm learning all the ins and outs. But as I kind of was walking into things, the board removed finances from in-house and brought it to an accountant. When that happened, we started to find some holes in our funding. And we're finding out, as we tried to fix it ourselves and do all the things and have those meetings, we're finding that we've got those big kinks out, but now we're needing emergency funding to get that deficit that we've now grown back to zero so we can start building up from there. So,
hi, my name is Brittany Hall. I've been on the board for a couple of years now. A lot of what Brittany's talking about kind of happened in a perfect storm. We had brand new board members like myself who came on and were not properly educated by our predecessors. And that left us kind of in a lurch. We also had all of our accounting that was being done in-house by our previous director. So the pictures that were being given to us were not necessarily, the whole picture. So some of those gaps were able to start. We had a much larger balance in our bank account before. We looked at our funding and what we thought was our regular income based on parent fees and things like that. It ended up not being that way. Our grants and everything were all being dumped into the same account and not distinguished between parent fees. And so what we thought was regular income was not. We were actually chewing into our savings that wasn't in the proper account. And so that has led us to where we are now. We have done everything we know how to do. We've continued to apply for the grants that we normally would and get our relationship with those organizations back in good standing. We have raised our parent fees so that we can close that deficit a little bit faster. And, after we get out of trouble, hopefully be able to bring some new programs and things to the kiddos. And we also are, right now, we're bringing in, what did your paper say?
So we bring in about $36,000 a month. And what that has to then pay for is all of our staff, all of our food program things. But with all of that, we also have $30,000 going out. So we have a very small window that doesn't give us a lot of leeway. However, we do get DFS payments that is a guaranteed bring-in every month. And we do get food program reimbursement, which is a guaranteed bring-in every month. The issue is with every business is we have parents that pay once a month, or we have parents that have a rollover that then closes that little $5,000 gap to then being more like a $1,000 gap or not having a gap at all. And so that's kind of what we're dealing with right now. We're working with some different ideas to help close that issue in the future, but that's nothing that we can implement until the fall since we have just done a large parent increase. So we're aware of that issue and we're working out the kinks, but as with all things, it does take time. And so unfortunately, our account balance is not giving us that time that we need. So hence the search for emergency funding.
We're approaching, you guys were also approaching the county commissioners today so that we can ask for some emergency funding for our community so that we can keep our organization open. The Buffalo Children's Center has supported Johnson County for, well, since 1973. There have been a couple of other hiccups in its existence, but we would like to be able to continue to support the youth in Johnson County. We are the lowest priced child care in the community. We are the most flexible as far as we know, and we're only one of two places that offers infant care for those moms and dads who have to go back to work sooner than after that first year. So we would like to continue to be able to do that.
We do have 65 families on our roster right now that actively use our service every day, and so if we can't get that funding and we do have to close, that's 65 families that are without care. So we're fighting real hard to keep us open.
We'd like to ask for $10,000 from the City Council to help us close that gap. We have a pretty decent hole in the bank right now, and they've been willing to work with us since the beginning of the year, but they have people to report to as well, and that support ends at the end of April. Do you guys have questions?
Yes. So, as the song goes, the children are our future. We know that. What is the Children's Center doing as far as fundraising? In internal fundraising.
So we have like those small fundraisers that we do in house, like we do kind of at the high school as well, with the cookie dough, things like that. Those just don't bring in enough for us. So we have delegated a committee within our board members that are going to work on fundraising. We have something really exciting planned. We just have to work out all those hiccups. But as far as that goes, that again will take time. We usually do a fall bazaar, a fall Christmas bazaar, kind of like the Learning Tree does. Again, that doesn't bring in a ton of revenue, but it is something that we do. That's all we've done in the past. Again, I'm very new, so I'm not sure what things we have, but we do have a committee working on that now within our board.
So we do have a few plans for this spring and summer. We would like to do our putt-putt golf tournament again, but change when we do it so that we can have more people present. Last year, it was one that we thought of kind of at the end of the season, and so we had really good participation. It just wasn't a great time of year, so we will be doing that earlier. We also just finished our Little Caesars pizza one. That one didn't go great, but it went okay. We're going to organize a family carnival, like a family fun day, that we'll have food and lots of different activities and things like that going on. We're organizing that for this summer. We have the craft bazaar coming. We have a couple of other things that the community are kind of batting around as well. And then we, like I said, we're continuing to apply for the grants that we normally do, but not to confuse or anything like that, but they weren't reporting back what we were using the funds for properly for a few of those grants, and so the amounts that we can apply for are significantly diminished at the moment, so we've been working diligently to repair those relationships so that we can go back to applying for the amounts of money that we used to get in the past.
I'm good friends with a former board member for you folks, and every year he would put together a big golf tournament, and that golf tournament almost funded everything that you needed. He now lives down in Oklahoma. I will reach out and see if he's willing, since he's retired and wandering the panhandle of Oklahoma for a living now, if he's willing to maybe pull some passion back out of retirement and maybe reach out to one of you folks and see if that's something that that maybe you could possibly look at again.
Okay, that would be fantastic. Yeah,
I have. Just firing up that golf tournament.
Cool. Okay.
So.
Yeah.
Do you guys still owe money on, you have to have a loan on the modular?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Okay.
Yeah, we own the modular.
Yeah. Because I know the city gifted that to, from the school gave it to the city, and we gave it to, but then I think, because I've seen the loan payment, I think you've asked us for reimbursement for that loan payment in the past, but that's gone now.
The only, we have a line of credit with the bank, and then just our regular account that's our operating budget, or operating account that's.
Have you looked at maybe some retired folks around town that are bored? And I know where I'm originally from, a lot of the ladies will come over from the senior center, and they love working with babies, and maybe
so,
volunteer some time to help with childcare.
Well, we've talked about that, the issue, because it's with children. Mm-hmm. You have to go through all the licensing, and so having anyone come into the building, they have to have certain certifications, a background check done, all their fingerprinting, all of those things, and then they can volunteer their time, but that doesn't change that we still have to have hired staff because of their ratio. So even if they came in, they're more than welcome to it. They do all of the things, but it doesn't save us any money anywhere, if that makes sense.
And in a post-COVID culture, not so much from the daycare side, because we haven't, that's not something that we've done since I've been on the board, but I work in elder care, and it is very hard to find people who are willing to go through that federal background check and to do, you know, to jump through all the hoops necessary to come in and be able to volunteer their time. So it's definitely something we're looking to, but.
Has the Children's Center received any funds from the Wyoming Community Foundation?
Yes, and we do have our application in as of right now. So with our two current applications that we have in for funding, we have a Hazel Patterson grant, which is for our scholarships for some of our kiddos to ensure that we get paid for them. And then we have that Wyoming Community Foundation that is also in. But to my knowledge, we don't get any information from that until June. And then we do have some larger grants that come in the fall, but again, that's another 5 months away. So. But we've always got a very substantial amount from them in the past, so we anticipate that again this year.
And do you ladies know about the section of the governor's website that deals specifically with grants?
No.
So if you go to the governor's website, there's a portal that will take you, and it lists every grant that's federal, state, local, that the governor's office knows about.
Okay.
There's some email. I don't think there's directly a phone number to contact the governor's office, but he does have some staff that monitors it, and it's email back and forth type of thing.
But they'll look for grants for you too.
Yep.
So
it's just on Governor Gordon's website.
Okay.
Have you considered a short-term loan just to get you to some of your bigger grants? Or?
So, yes, but we already have that one loan out that we're struggling to now get down until we get that larger funding. And so our fear is that we get another loan and grow that deficit and then not be able to, we would obviously be able to pay it down, but then all of our grant money's gone, so we're not then gaining anything, if that makes sense. So our fear is that if we don't get some sort of emergency funding, that we're going to dig a hole that we're going to struggle to get out of.
You should have called the federal government. Tell them how to do that.
Tell me about it. I know.
Obviously, we didn't know about the governor's things. You know, we're learning and growing together. And we would really like to stay at the Children's Center. There just is a lot at play here, and we've kind of run out of time at the moment.
What is the amount of your current loan?
So we have $15,000 on it right now.
How much?
$15,000.
Okay.
And so we, it's no longer an option to use it. Obviously, it's been maxed. And so, wait, it's $15,000. Yes. And so we need to get that paid to zero. So then we have our good standing with that bank. So then if we need emergency, so it started as a $5,000 emergency roll,
And then in emergency, it grew then to 15,000. And so we need to get that paid down as soon as possible. And we do have other things in place that are happening. We have letters going out to local businesses for donations. We do have presentations for the banks that are happening in hopes that they'll each donate 5,000 to get that bank loan to zero, so then any other funding that we get can just go into operating, is our hope.
Right now we sit at 30,000
yes.
in our operating account, under, on top of the 15 for the loan that we already have. So approaching the banks will help take care of the loan, and then hopefully we can get help from the county and the city to be able to help with the other half of the issue.
So this was caused by unexpected revenue lowering rather than increased unexpected costs.
What happened is that because we were not aware of what was grant money and what was our general income, we raised all of our employees' pay because they were making $11 an hour. And so we brought them all up as a whole to $13 an hour. When the board made that decision, we were not aware of where all of our funding was coming from.
Oh.
And so we have slowly been nipping away for about a year at our bank account, at our operating bank account. And obviously if we told our employees that they had to go
back
to $11 an hour,
we
would have to close the doors because we wouldn't have employees. And I can't blame them for that at all. But the raise in our parent fees, we've done three total in the last year and a half. And they've all been successful and understood. We haven't had any complaints or anybody pull their children. And that will cover our pay raise. But now, because of that, we've got a bigger hole than what we can dig out of in a timely manner.
How long does this 10,000, how far in the future does this get you to?
This gets us to June.
Okay.
Or it helps us get to June.
And can I ask what you're asking from the county?
10 as well.
And the individual that was responsible for this finance thing is no longer with you, is that right?
It was our previous director. She is no longer responsible. And the board has taken steps. We now use an outside accountant. And finances don't go through the director or the assistant director any longer. They go straight through the board.
So that's going to be corrected, hopefully, then.
Yes, we are putting the necessary things in place in our bylaws and in our policies so that this doesn't happen again. We've changed how we hand over our offices. We've changed who handles our funding. All of those things have been put in place. It's just a really big hole to take out.
So, also, I've been looking through the budget stuff, and I think that the letter that we received, we received a letter from you guys, and I think that that was actually those severance tax requests, but it was turned in and treated as a 1%. So I know the committee has met, and they interviewed you guys.
Yes.
And so the letter was for the maintenance and repairs and all that, which is typically, in the past, has been paid through our severance tax funding.
Okay, yes.
But that went to the committee. I think they have made their recommendation. I don't know when the county will vote on that, but the city will do it in conjunction with the budget.
Okay.
But I'm taking that same letter and sticking it as severance.
Okay.
Because I know the committee is well aware of your situation.
Yes.
And then, do you do monthly now? Are you doing monthly financial statements?
Yes.
And we have also, I'm Shelley Baumgartner, and I worked at the center for 7 years. I'm a retired teacher, and I taught pre-K for 7 years. So the Buffalo, now I'm on the board, and the Buffalo Center Children's Center is really near and dear to my heart. We do have a finance committee now, which is going to help with looking at the the budget and the finances, so.
We've made quite a few changes. Checks and purchases under $100 have to have two signatures. Everything has to be board approved. We've made so many changes so that we have those fail safes, checks and balances in place so we can guard our monies better.
A couple questions for the board members. Volunteer board, correct? Yes.
Yes.
When you go into a lot of the boards, sometimes you volunteer and you sit on a board. Have you reached out for any type of board training to help you folks get rid of some stress and some headaches?
We have not. We would like to do some board training. We'd like to do some leadership training. There's quite a bit. We just have not had funding or anything like that to put out to apply for those things.
There are organizations like WAM that we're part of, Wyoming Association of Municipalities. The commissioners have their own associations. I think the chamber may have some type of board training that I don't know that there's a cost, but if you need any connections to that to help get rid of some stress off of you as board members, volunteer board members, let us know and maybe we can connect you to sit down, and there might be some organizations out there that help places like you that can maybe overlook some of your bylaws and make sure everything's in place. And then
perfect.
The leadership stuff, the guys on the call, I can get you a squared away on that.
Okay.
So get some big contacts for that too.
Great.
So outside of the financial, we can help you with some other stuff to get rid of the aspirin every night.
So the council cannot make any decisions at this meeting.
Yes.
It'll have to go to a council meeting.
Yep. Okay. Perfect. Thank you very much for your time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for taking care of the kids.
There wasn't any evidence of embezzlement or anything like that.
No.
Just not paying attention to it.
No. And I would also like to reiterate, because I don't like speaking ill of anyone, I don't think that anything up until this point was out of malice.
No.
It all came from a good place.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we just weren't, I don't think, watching it close enough. You can't give a raise without them raising your income, so.
And I would agree. I don't think it was out of malice. I think she also lacked education and training, and then as the board changed hands and we weren't made aware of things that we needed to check on, she didn't think about it either. And so we had a whole bunch of people who didn't really know what was going on trying to all fake it till they make it.
Which is why now the professionals are doing it.
Yeah.
That's another, having the professionals do it's another added expense that you did.
It's a big one, but it's worth it. It is
yep,
a big expense.
It's worth it.
She does a really good job, and she's very, very helpful.
So I think let's follow up on some board training and
for sure.
Some grant funding
yes.
opportunities. And
yep.
See where we go.
That sounds perfect. Thank you guys so much. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Any more questions for the ladies before they move? Next item on the agenda is Bald Mountain Sanitation Contract, Green Waste.
So Scott is wondering if the red cans that we put out, and I wish Wes was here because I know he uses the red can and he would really have some input into this. But the red cans that we put out in the alley pickup of the green waste, since we've put the dumpsters out and at the park or at the ball field and on the south end of town, I think we maybe have 35 or 30 cans that are out, and Scott is wondering if you want to stop the alley pickup and just have it there, and he would lower the price. I think, I don't know if he charges $700 a week, and he would lower it $300
a week,
or maybe for the month. I'll have to. I wish Kevin was here; he had had the conversation with him. But I don't know if it's worth it to still. I mean, we'll still have him pick up that big rollout dumpster.
In the two locations.
Yeah, and people can still. I mean, you'll have to bring it down there, your green waste. But what I see is even people with the red can, they're bringing it down and dumping it. It's more they just like to have the can to put it in so they can, and I don't know how we handle that with the red cans, whether we still give them the red can and don't charge them then if they have to haul it, because right now we charge $5 a month. So I don't know that it's, that we have enough out there that's paying for that extra to do the alley pickup.
Well, I suppose there's any way to tell how many of them aren't able to haul their red can or get rid of their old green waste, you know, that are maybe just a shade older than me.
And Scott probably has that.
There is a list of, when you go pick up the green cans, like in a church, you have to sign in where the address you're taking them so they know where to bill. So they know exactly where, who has every green, red can goes with it.
Except not everybody has turned them in, so I think Scott picks up a lot of red cans that he doesn't necessarily, you know, they're maybe not on the list.
Well, I've got a red can that just says Ace on
it. It takes a white paint to repaint the name on it.
COB.
But I think it's something to look into.
Yeah, so it's time to, it was a 2-year green waste contract, but then it can continue. You know, it's one of those, unless we write and say we don't want it anymore, he does, or we change the terms, it just continues. Scott would like to change that now. But I do appreciate that he would lower the price. Yeah,
absolutely.
I've already been asked when the dumpsters are coming out.
When do they come out?
It's usually May.
Winter's not done yet.
Usually, May to October.
I think it's May through October, and we usually end up extending that contract another month because the leaves are still on. And I think it's cheaper to leave it for that extra month than to clean up all the mess that the trees, you know. Do you remember how much Scott would discount that price? I know we pay $700 a week for.
I thought that the total would be like $400 off the bill for the month.
Okay,
$400. Because is it like $3,400? I think.
Yeah, I think it depends on how many weeks there are in a month.
But I think it was taken down about $3,000. Okay. And I talked with Scott on that, and basically there's like 20 to 30 cans that he picks up every Monday.
Comer had a good point about older people who just, you know, can get it to the can.
Right, and I get that. I totally get it. It's just whatever. But it's certainly not what it used to be since the containers went in. Most people probably want to take them down and come back and fill them again.
Right. Well, and another community, shares that I know of, they don't have cans. They have just
the station.
I think one of the things that's prevalent here is that they've got a lot of people that are too old, whatever, don't mow their own lawn, so they hire it. But then when they're done, all the hired help for mowing has to do is dump it in there and wait for the city to come up. And I think that should be internalized with the owner of the property and the commercial mower to take care of his grass as part of his job. It might have to cost a few people to have to pay an extra $5 or $10 of mowing or something, but I think it's appropriate. I think it's not anything that we should feel guilty about.
Because Scott has also, for those lawn mowing companies that just go dump their stuff there rather than take it to the landfill, he has started charging them, offering them, like, if I bust you, you know, then it's a fine. But if you want to pay me to do this, I mean, the city shouldn't have to pay for it. They should.
Right.
Sorry.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. The chief could go pick them up, then you wouldn't have to go to the gym.
Yeah, that sounds a great idea.
That was the politest.
So
that in a long time.
And I wonder if you have that contract in your files? Because I think...
I can look.
Yeah. It's the Greenways one, not the roll-off. Okay. We can get with Scott and find out the price. Mm.
Any more questions on grass, leaves, and branches? Nope. Okay. Golf course repair bill. First question I have is, have they signed the contract yet?
No.
Okay.
Which contract?
Our lease.
They haven't signed it?
Nope.
They didn't like the increase in the... So they're just, I guess, waiting. But then... This winter, we had that cold weather, and the pipes froze and broke. And so they're saying that, well, that's, remember we have that clause in there that anything over 1,000, but I think the old contract was 250. I mean, I don't even remember what it was, but then they had changed it, but they're going off of provisions in the contract that they haven't signed. And they know they haven't signed it because they remind me of that. So it was $33.21, and then if you take off the 1,000, it would be $23.21. Now my thing is, I know that this was an emergency, all that, but I think this is an operations thing. They've changed people and who's managing, and you know, the groundskeeper, all of those people, and somebody didn't realize that. I mean, we've had cold weather in the past. And things have not frozen and broken. And so when I asked Adam about that, he said, well, this is like an act of God, you know, because it says that in our clause. But I'm like, we get cold weather every year. I think somebody just didn't manage it right, and that's negligence.
Where did the breaks occur? In the building?
Or? Yeah, I think it's in the clubhouse. Club. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was long.
That's not it.
Yeah, I was like, this is the way you're managing it. And then you turn around. Because they're also supposed to anything, they're supposed to come ask us if they want to make, you know, changes, if it's going to be an expensive deal. Now, I know this was an emergency. And we told them, yeah, you better get your pipes thought out. So they put a heater down there and got it. And then they had the plumber come fix it. But I don't feel like we were instructing them that... Yeah, we'll pay for it. We just said, yeah, you probably better get fixed.
Do they have a new guy that didn't know to drain something or heat something? Or is that what?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think it's just a management thing. I don't think it is.
Well, at the same time, if they don't want to sign the contract, they're not paying.
Okay.
Right.
So do you want to talk to...
That's kind
of... Do you want to talk to Adam? Do you want
sure.
To... Okay. I can get you his... Number.
That Argentinian son got him a little feisty over.
I don't understand why they didn't sign the contract.
Because the price went up.
Well,
good.
After how many years? You know, 30?
40
years.
I mean,
this is an annual fee,
and it's still pretty good.
Yeah. It's annual, not a monthly.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
They made something for $1 million off of 10 last year. I'll do that every day of the week.
That'll cost them. It'll cost them 3 years to rent.
Okay. Well, that part's on hold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dennis and I will.
Until legal gets back to us. Okay. Board liaisons. I think it's time that we haven't changed any board liaison updates for a while, I don't think. I know there was one that I've been approached that they have asked for a specific council member to be on, and she has so graciously accepted. And that's the one through the hospital.
Yeah, you'll have to name it for me.
We'll get back to you on that name. It's a name I can't remember. It's not the Hospital Foundation Board. But are there any that anybody would like to be on specifically or not be on specifically for whatever reason?
I'm
I'm fine staying on the Wyatt. Why board?
I'm wondering, just because I know that Councilwoman Camino likes to read contracts and dive into stuff, whatever. One of the...
I don't know if that's true, Julie.
I think it could be managed better on the Criminal Justice Center Joint Powers Board as far as, you know, there's contracts that... I'm thinking of the Digitex contract. That costs us $70,000 a year, and we're paying a fourth of the bill. And then now when I read through this, I see that it's for 154 workstations. And so a fourth of that, then I would think that we would have that many. You know, so what is that bill then? 300 and some thousand that the county signs the contract on, and we're paying a fourth of it. But then I had the chief count up all of his computers and laptops and in the police vehicles and everything. And I think we have about 17% of that contract that is being managed. So we've had this ongoing battle of you guys just get to sign the contract and you don't bring us to the table to negotiate this. And you know, we used to use Ptolemy data systems. They're now called PDS. But then there was a switch to this Digitex. And at the time, there were only two people or two companies that would service this area. I think you should take on this challenge.
I'm kind of with Julie on this. We kind of sat down and I started looking, getting ready for budget this year. And I started crunching numbers. And, you know, I came down and we pulled a bunch of stuff. And, the problem is, whatever, yeah, the county has all the say in it, right? Like, I think if we're paying that much money, we should have some sort of input. And I know Jeff Shelley's been very instrumental, and he's trying to streamline, especially with Digitech. The problem is, it'd be nearly impossible to have one IT company for the city and one IT for the county in that building because, you know, dispatch has to work. Everything has to run through dispatch, so everything has to work with a 911 center. So, you know, I don't know how that would look, but I do think that somebody here should be involved in that conversation and look at some numbers because we're just told, hey, pay 25% of this, and the joint powers board, I think we need to also have a seat at the table and look at it and think, because we're putting all this money, you guys are putting all this money in, you know, at the year for maintenance and whatnot, and I don't think anybody really sees... I don't see it. I've got the guard on it now. We're going to be a little bit more diligent in this upcoming year and looking at what bills are we signing, what, you know. But we should have some sort of input if we're in that building and we're paying money for it. That's just my opinion.
Well, sorry. And then we are, this year, there is a 1% request for an additional $50,000, $25,000 from the city and $25,000 from the county. This is above and beyond the Digitex contract to migrate some... old information, like old case files that we have to retain, and now we can't access them. It doesn't, you can explain it better, but it doesn't tie into, you know, so anyway, to do that, it's going to cost another $50,000. I was like, well, what have we been paying for year after year? And as we migrate over to this stuff, why did that get lost?
Yeah, and so that's part of what Digitex, so we operate, it's called RIMS, is our operating system for our reporting and all that, our CAD system. So way before I was ever here, they used called CCSS, which was their CAD system at the time. When they migrated to RIMS, they set up a separate way of being able for us to go back and pull all the reports, public information requests, which we have to have. We can't not have that stuff. And so over the years, now... it's not supported, so there's no way for us to get in, or right now we can barely get into that system, but in order for us to pull all that data and have it brought over to our RIM system so that we can access it for public information requests, it's going to take about a year for RIMS to do that and at a cost of $50,000. So the sad thing is we really don't have a choice. There's no other way because of the way that system was built. And Digitech was aware of that because they're the ones that brought that stuff over. We've had many conversations with them, and $50,000 is actually a discounted price. I think it was was originally around 80. So
it's like they're holding hostage.
It's like, it's just like Microsoft, right? Like,
yeah.
They say, hey, you want this new system, you gotta, your licensing is $35,000 a year, you know? It's like, they just know that they have us. And so, yeah, that request. But I think my issue is a lot of this stuff kind of is coming, like, I don't find out about it until, like, last year. It's like, hey, by the way, the new, whatever we are, what, Microsoft 14 or whatever is coming out. None of your computers are compatible. You need to replace every computer. Well, don't tell me that 6 months into the budget. You know, we should have some sort of a plan, maintenance schedule, like, hey, let's replace three computers here. Luckily, I was able to, with my computer budget, was able to manage all of our computers in two different budgets, which was great. So we were able to fall into that. But again, it comes down to the last minute, us not knowing and being like, hey, I need you to give me, you know, $9,000 to replace computers.
And then the problem with that is when you upgrade them all at once, then they come due all
correct.
At once. And
yep.
then again, you're in that situation yep. again, rather than having a rotation right. cycle.
And that was one of my points too. And so now we, there's a Digitech meeting every 2 weeks. So now myself and Erica are in on those meetings with Digitech. So now I've got some say. But the problem is I don't have much say because I don't sign anything. I don't do anything. I'm just told, hey, this is what you do. And so we sat down and we've actually are going to have IT as its own line item, right, in
yeah.
this upcoming budget so we can look because of unexplained cost or costs we didn't know about. All of a sudden I'm looking at my budget and I'm waking up at 2:30 in the morning with the cold sweats wondering why. You know,
you should get that checked, an EKG.
It's terrible. So then of course Julie has to put up with me calling every day. Hi Julie. And she's like, oh God. Geez.
You have got to calm down.
Yeah. So.
Well, I'm happy to be a part of the CJC and try to advocate for it.
I think that would be big.
If someone wants planning and zoning.
Don't even
don't
look at me.
It only meets three or four times a year. But I guess early my council career is when they signed that Digitech contract and basically they brought it to the city county meeting, yeah, we signed a new contract, you need to pay this back. And the city was not even involved and it frustrated us that they didn't give us a seat at the table. They just, the county did the interviews and everything and just gave us a bill and that was, it was not paying.
You're not paying
genial
much
work.
Well,
and we should be because again without that IT, I mean
yeah.
Really, so right now we're battling they want to replace the whole, our phone
yeah.
system is, it's way behind. And so much so that we are end of life, May 31st of 2024. So we're a year over, and then they were looking at a new phone company and got away from Cisco, and turns out the company they picked will not integrate with our 911 system.
Well,
that's no good. Right, it doesn't work. So they're trying to work, and
yeah.
we had a meeting about that yesterday. So the good thing is like Jeff has done a great job of including us now because he basically said, like, you let us know because if it doesn't work with 911, it doesn't work, period. So I think if there's a time to approach the county about having a seat at the table and being involved in these conversations, I think it's a good time now, and I think Jeff would be the guy to reach out to.
Yeah.
So.
We'll talk to Jeff then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so can we get a list of the boards?
Yes.
Would that be the best, happiest way to do it?
Trails. Yep. I'll have it for you tonight. The list.
Or doesn't have to be tonight. So think about what boards you want to be on. Or do I get to assign you boards? Yeah.
I see the list first.
Since Wes is the newest elected.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that's divvy.
We all get
first.
A pick an order.
Let's pick the ones we want.
Hey, if you're not here, then you just
yeah.
get told, right?
That'll teach you how to show up.
If you're not sitting at the table, you're getting served on it.
Yeah.
I get the senator told me that. Cool. Chamber, Fair and Rodeo Street Closure Request.
So I just wanted you guys to review this. They want to change the Fair and Rodeo Parade route because of the construction. So they're going to do much like the Christmas parade where they start at Angus. And I don't know why they wouldn't start all the way up, but they want to start at Angus, turn here at Fort Street, and go to Klondike. So
wait,
that
When we met with YDOT, they talked about our fair and rodeo and how they were going to shut down during that time. So why couldn't, I mean, I hate to change it.
That's what we're worried about sidewalks.
Oh, well.
But I think they're going to be,
they're going to be out of that section.
Well, they're out down there, but they'll be up here. Past Fort Street.
From
like, north, they're going to start on.
From Fort North is where we're.
Yeah.
We impact, but they could start the south end because all they're doing down there is a box culvert, which should be done because they want to be open before school. So even if we have to start a little farther this way on the south end, all that's done from.
Well, and would it be bad if we just shortened the parade so that it ended at Fort and didn't go all the way to my house?
Yeah, we could start a.
You can't sit on your lawn.
So we could start at Parmalee and then go to the Fort and turn.
It would make the Alamac people pretty upset.
Well, you know, they could move downtown.
Yeah, their street's going to be torn up down there. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Because the main street downtown is to be finished by Memorial Day. So, theoretically.
Are they talking about lining up still on Fort Street at Angus, or they want to line up on Angus? Because on the Christmas parade, what we do is we line up on Angus, come out
Angus
on the left, which I don't think is going to work if we have that many floats.
Still have to line up on the right half street because of the number of floats. And I think that's still, I mean, that's the parade route.
And they, YDOT will accommodate. They did last year, and they
looked at it also, so after. You know, what happened down in New Orleans, I had this conversation, and I sat down and I looked. I think we have 37 hard targets, which would be sidewalks, intersections, and, you know, where we kind of thought about even shortening that loop and making them turn on Fort and then turn on Klondike and do a big circle. We still, you know, I was talking to you, like, we may need to use some city crews and have some vehicles. And that
dump trucks.
Blocking. We talked about barricades, like concrete dividers, you know. But then that's going to be
like
quite
Jersey?
Set up and quite
like Jersey beer.
Yeah, that's labor intensive.
It is, but then you think, well, how do we? I've got 12 clients.
That,
like, how do we?
That may be why you woke up in a cold sweat.
Not well, I wake up in a cold sweat every day.
Did you talk to the fire chief? Because he hates those barricades. You know, when he wants to get through there, he doesn't want a concrete barricade.
Yeah, then how do we? I mean, I think we do have to think about protecting the sidewalks and citizens from what kind of. I mean, I'm. Do I think it ever happened here? No, we can never say it will never. Right? We always err on the side of caution. So, I guess my thing would be if we could ensure that we still line that up on Main Street all the way up to the bypass, because I don't know how we would ever line them up at Angus.
I don't
just
either.
Work.
Could we reach out to them and propose that just a shorter route for one year?
And why can't it turn left on Burritt? And go right to the Klondike. If you look at that,
I would rather them go on Burritt than to Klondike. I think just going through one.
There's really no place,
as
I recall. I mean,
but we would ensure that everything on Burritt is shut down all the way past the pool and come back down to Western. Like, we'd ensure that it's all shut down. But I think if we go through. Because they have to remember when you go through another intersection, I have to worry about traffic coming, so we have to block traffic above the light. It would be easier to divert traffic onto Klondike prior to Burritt, right? Because that's kind of a major thoroughfare. So, and I can call Amber and see them if I have a conversation.
And routing them back around that way, I mean, from Steph's 4-H days, we had a lot of vehicles out at bypass and the high school getting everybody on the
float
that we needed to get back
so that's
to.
A good
That the kids needed to get back to because they drive their cars there.
Yeah, so we
through state.
So I do think the chief needs to probably reach out to them and
I'll reach out to them.
So then the other thing is I don't think you should extend the open container area clear to Klondike. It's still just the main street.
I agree with that.
And I know the chamber is like, well, we don't need that, but it's just such a tradition that everybody does that. It puts the cops in a bad position if we say, hey, no open container, or nobody asked for it. And then, I mean.
So I can't have my brother Mary when I'm driving?
No.
Well, you're not anymore, Jack.
For the members of the press.
Yeah, I'll reach out to Jessica and Amber and see if I'll have a meeting with them. And
yeah.
If you guys are good with that, trying to just stop the bird and then help with us shutting stuff down.
So we have time. I won't put it on tonight's agenda so that you can have a conversation and if they need to rewrite anything. So we're very clear on where
we actually have a contingency plan if we ever decide to do that. We actually map it out. Casey and Garth have actually sat down and looked at that route and thought about even having to change that maybe down the road, but I don't know. I would get hung up, but this, we don't have a choice.
No.
Turn
out,
so. Well, it's 1 year.
Yeah, exactly. It's 1 year. Mm-hmm. So it's, your proposed plan is Burritt, not Klondike.
Correct.
Because my concern is you have a parade going in front of the fire hall if something happens.
I just assumed they weren't all called up.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the other thing is, if people want to avoid it, they can use Klondike. When I think that's to get people.
Yeah, the parade's chaos enough. Throw a siren on in the middle of one.
Well, nobody pays attention because they think it's part of the parade.
Right.
Fire trucks! Meanwhile, Gomer's.
Get out of the way.
Kevin, you and I, as it gets closer, we'll sit down and look and see if I'm going to have some help with trucks or main intersections where people get to sidewalks. That's my biggest thing, right? That we can keep somebody from driving on the sidewalk and wreaking havoc. So.
But since it's a lot bigger, double or triple the size of the Christmas parade, I think they definitely need to see about trying to line up.
Yes.
Like I'm farther south Main, then you could take Keys and Broad, or some of those side streets, you can line up in the side streets and then come on to Main and not have to, if we can't get out by the high school, depending on, that's the only going on out there. But yeah, then we could get more, get the people lined up and just bring them one road at a time, and that's been done in years past. And,
I think that would on the back end of it. It's going to take a little bit more preparation, so we may have to, it's probably going to upset some folks, but we might have to close some streets off earlier, like the day before or the evening before, because we always put out the no parking on Main Street, but the complaints I always get, it's like, well, I can't get around. There's really not, I mean, I don't know what else to do unless we call our folks at Highway Patrol and see if I can't get them to come in and help. Well, you know, we put signage out last year, which helped early. We'll do that again, and we'll just, with the change, definitely have to make sure that we get it out via Facebook, the news, you know, whatever we can do to get that message out to the public. So we'll try to do a better job on that this year.
Okay. Any more questions on that? Don't put it in front of the fire.
It just seemed not,
Okay. So next is, we have some nifty information here from the governor. So
this is the loan agreement and your amortization schedule for the water tank loan that we just got. Tonight in your bills will be a check for the loan origination fee of $3,015.08. But I will have this on the agenda for you guys to approve the drinking water 272 state revolving fund loan, the agreement, and then the check will be in the bills.
It looks like the... Just to refresh my memory, because it needs a lot of refreshing. $600,000.
Mm-hmm. But then there's loan principal forgiveness of $288,000.
So it's
It'll be $312,000, but
at a very low interest rate.
Low interest rate.
And that principal forgiveness, does that just come off the? Or don't have to make the last five payments or something? Is that how they figure that out?
Yeah.
And pay off early or something?
Yeah, I think that we draw the whole $600,000 and we're stuck paying. You can see their schedule here.
But 280, we'd be done 10 years instead of 15 or something, it looks like. When they decide to forgive them. I just didn't know how it worked if they did it.
Well, I'm sure it's in the agreement.
Okay. There's a lot of agreement there.
Yeah.
Something to read today.
Yeah.
Looks like your back page is...
Not enough copy to read.
Your back page has a whole lot of fun stuff on it. Okay. Any questions on that?
We can go to this too. This is not on the agenda, but Dennis had sent the ordinance? Over.
Yeah. Well, Terry had sent me the redraft of this chapter 5, which is the adoption of the 2024 International Building Code. It makes a lot of changes to our current building code. It's unfortunate it's this long. I tried to go through and try and just do parts of it, but it's just too complicated. So I put the whole thing.
This is going to cost some money to publish.
That's what I was thinking. Going to be happy with that.
You get a raise.
Miss on the agenda.
Is it ready for your agenda tonight, or?
As far as I'm concerned, yes.
Okay.
Let's do it.
So, I guess maybe this is a Terry question. What are the highlights of the changes in this thing?
Yeah, talk to Terry.
Yeah.
I think it's major. I mean,
no.
Oh, it's not?
No. But you'll see some of the changes are underlined. I have a red version here if you wanted to see it.
I think I gave them a red version.
Is Terry be here tonight?
No.
It passes over there. The mayor, here's the changes. They're identified in red. It's a little easier to see them, but they're not going to change.
They didn't jump in two code cycles. We didn't do it in 21. We're still on the 2018 code now. So.
It's too expensive to do it every 3 years.
Yes, we can do it every 6 years. Yeah. So.
Is that like a loophole?
Is this your copy?
You can have that.
Okay. Anybody else want to read the copy?
No.
Okay, major capital construction projects, if there's no more questions on building code.
Main Street, moving forward. I have a schedule. It's going good for what it is. Actually planning on being done with the underground stuff south of the creek and going to start at the stoplight going north next week. And there's a public meeting tonight at the fire hall.
Tonight or Thursday?
The third.
We're going to meet here tonight.
Yeah. For that reason, when they're switching to the area, that's they want to have a public meeting before they switch. So, any questions on that?
Is the water turned off here today?
No.
No.
And the sewer works. We're all whole again. New.
The water's turned off in my water.
It is? What for?
They're shutting it off.
They're shutting it off. This is the second time this week they shut it off.
Yeah, it's out, because they're doing tie-ins.
Yeah,
they're just tying in. It shouldn't be on very long.
Are we on a different...
Yeah, this is from down there, yes. This is different than that.
But he is on that. That's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, at your house,
at
but
house.
Not at your
no.
office.
No.
Yeah,
okay.
It's at
yeah,
my
okay.
house. So say, well, it shouldn't be off up there. So, but, yeah.
I want their sidewalk. It's prettier than ours.
Oh, I've heard about that. Any department head?
And then, also the flight staff, lights on flight staff, cinema, they're up and working, so that's done. I've
got a the bids for the tech park, or for the business park, excuse me, came in. The low bid came in at 24,448.77.
That's on the reclamation stuff.
Yeah. The average bid was around 75,000, high bid was 91. Spoke with the contractor about it. They're comfortable they can do it for that, so they want to proceed.
Thanks.
Do we get the name?
Wyatt.
Wyatt?
Yeah. So, you want to put that on for tonight? We can do that.
Is it still getting used as a drag strip out there?
I'm sure.
And other things?
Yeah, other things. So, and then one other thing I have here is I did get a bid to do the asphalt for the parking lot of $17,537.50, and that is just for the asphalt, and then to pave it. I will prep the grade, the city will prep the parking lot, but that's for the asphalt. So.
And that's for the little parking lot behind what used to be
Fourth and Main.
Yeah.
You'll have a parking lot.
Well, it's better than that swimming pool you got behind there now.
Trade the indoor pool, outdoor pool for
an outdoor pool
for a parking lot.
Looks water crazy.
So we can go forward with that, and that wouldn't happen until probably sometime in May before they start making asphalt. And that would, and Kroll is who's going to do that. So that's really all I have, unless
there's
any questions.
Okay. Legal.
No, I don't have anything new. I've submitted that building code amendment. And I did file an appeal on that IRS assessment. I don't know if anybody's seen that.
I don't think they have. We tried to, what year is that,
22.
They're saying they didn't get our W-2s and W-3s on time, so they're charging us for each one that was late, which we say, I think you received it. We should have sent them certified mail so that we had something. But you can see our argument is that the form was dated this date, and our procedure is that we prepare, and we've never had this problem. Anyway, the penalty is $12,100. But to stop the interest on it, we are going to pay the penalty, and then we're appealing the.
That's what you get with 82,000 armed IRS agents. Where's Doge when you need it? Anything else from legal?
No, that's all.
Madam Clerk.
Nothing.
Chief Bissette.
Oh, we're gonna, do we have any feedback from our meeting with the land shelter?
They have to meet, though, like the 8th.
Oh, is that when the board meeting is? No, they're not. We're good.
Fire Chief Gamble.
New compressors ordered. Thank you guys for jumping on that. And Powder Room Fire District loaned us a compressor in between so we can fill stuff that's actually working pretty good. Kevin got working good. If I'll leave it alone, if that problem is like.
Silly question that has nothing to do with it, just for my knowledge, it popped into my head. Are your air packs compatible with like counties?
Not right now.
With the new compressor, will it be?
No.
Okay.
Our air packs are 22/16s, meaning pressure. Counties run 45s. Now with this new compressor, as you know, I think you guys have been informed that NIOSH pulled the our, when we step up, the new compressor will take care of anything new we get.
But I just ask because I know you guys do a lot of mutual aid with each other on structure.
And we're trying to have another SVBA guy come in next week to show us his wares. I told him I'd be kind of behind the eight ball, but go ahead and come look at stuff. That's a good point, because a lot of times when, like, say, Perk's building out here, I mean, my God, there's bottles laying everywhere, and it's kind of nice that we're not six or seven different kinds of bottles and somebody needs one. But we'll cross that bridge as we come up with more bucks.
There's always more money somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Just got to find somewhere. Okay. Anything else, Chief? Again?
No.
Okay. Board liaison and council, Scott?
The YMCA is just doing, they're still doing their due diligence and if they even want to purchase that property. They're not, they haven't made a decision yet. They're still investigating. It's all been updated to this point.
Madam Vice?
Trails Board, and I met with the Quinn Centennial Committee and talking about using that money for a dog park. And I brought up the property on Fetterman and the corner. I don't know, and I know we can't decide anything, but Kevin, is that an, I know, I've caused some more problems. Is that an okay property to pursue? Or?
Well, do I have a choice? I mean,
well, obvious, because I mean, we can come up with an alternative.
I guess the two locations, the over by the trail park, are there, which are kind of the ones that we're looking at here, like that. Is that correct? Or, I mean, I'd say that place is probably better than the one you're talking about.
What about that property behind the south of Mill Arc there, between Cemetery Road and that subdivision? I thought that was City of Buffalo where that drainage comes through there.
Well, right across the cemetery, yeah.
Just north of the cemetery, there?
Just north of
yeah,
the cemetery.
Where the, yeah,
Potter's Field.
Another option I thought of was over on Klondike behind our skate park and behind the track up there, I guess.
Gracefield?
Yeah, behind Gracefield and the roller skating park or whatever, that skateboard park, that would, that's just land back there. I don't know if we need more, some more fencing on that property. I don't know. Keep the weeds down with the dog running around on them.
But then, do we have to get water to it?
Yeah, that's what.
I mean, I, you know,
we
was
need
looking,
services.
I was looking at a location, and I also want to keep in mind easy access for tourists is something that you don't have to, like, not that Buffalo's a big town. But,
and our folks that can't make it to the Red Can?
Well, and then parking in part of the park system, since it would be a park.
Well, and I know a lot of people use that anyway for
they
the dog park right now.
I mean, every time I drive by, there's dogs there with people.
They're in the sports field complex.
Yeah. And also the horseshoe pits, which I was just assuming not use the horseshoe pits for their dogs.
You don't have, at least they're not walking cats for those standards.
Is there? No, no, maybe I'm going down a road
just
with,
it's
with
fenced,
this. But
you know, they like things that.
If we put in a dog park, which I'm not against, I don't hate the idea. What do we do if people don't clean up after themselves?
There's a.
Do we have anything in ordinance that?
There's no ordinance, and how would you police that?
Yeah.
But Sarah Sexton had a great idea that our probation officers, who are quite busy, could assign that for community service. And also maybe reaching out to our 4-H clubs to rotate and help with that, because people don't clean up after their dogs.
Because, you know, and you've got a fenced area, say, when they're talking about an acre, was originally talked about, you're going to let Fifi out in there. She runs to the other end of that.
They're not going to follow.
Chase down and clean up.
Yeah, and it really, in order to be a really good dog park, from what I've read, it needs to have two sections, one for smaller dogs and one for larger dogs.
So the big dogs don't eat the small dogs.
Exactly. Yeah, actually, it's so the small dogs don't eat the big dogs.
Brutus has to have a squeaky wise for him.
Small dog is normally the instigator.
Next, would it be playground equipment for them?
You know, in looking at dog park plans, you can do a dog park from 20,000 up to 200,000, depending on how many playground equipment you put in. But I think the plan we want to present is pretty bare bones as far as, and the trail boards is willing to put a dog station there, but providing access to water, benches, and fence. And the historical buy-in is where the committee wants to do signage and kind of a time warp. History Tales, TAILS Dog Park, and start.
Oh my gosh, you're so deep in this.
But having the history and also some buy-in from, you know, people that could help with some money for the signage, because it would be advertising and QR codes, but not only to inform our citizen or our tourists, but citizens. I mean, I live here and I go to the museum when company comes to town, you know, and I don't take advantage of other things in our county that are available, and if I knew more, I'd do more. And making that information more accessible and more out there with signage, but then also have that, it's kind of a walking history of kind of what Johnson County has been through, and but also the ability, because we want to be, because it's one of the grant outlines future-oriented, so that you could add on to it, you know, so that if you cross off enough of the grant, you increase your odds of qualifying for it. And we can get up to 30,000. And there's not a lot of other communities, from what we've heard, that are putting in for it, because it's not a substantial amount of money to really do anything. So that also increases our odds. So, you know, looking at something other than the pain in the butt to Kevin, that would be beneficial, that doesn't cost us a ton.
Anybody else find it sad that you can get a grant for a dog park but not to run your children's center?
Remember, this doesn't come out to 2026. I don't think it's going to help.
No, it's just...
Yeah.
And there's my quote for the paper. Anything else? Manifest? Pool board is starting to meet. I think they're. You saw the email that I sent out, and I can't remember when the next meeting was. I want to say the 18th, which is at the pool at 5:15. The board wants to do a walk around, and I think they're heck bent on getting the cabanas put in, or the pergolas. It's a pergola now. Huh?
Not a cabana, but a pergola. Nah.
If you have the cabana, you have to have the canvas on the side, whereas a pergola, it's one structure that saves Kevin a lot of work once it's put in.
Just a roof on it.
Yep.
A tin roof or something.
Well, I think they're looking at the slatted roof. Like
slats, not a roof.
Yeah, so it doesn't hold snow and have to be reshingled and all that sort of stuff.
So it's just boards that'll rot and fall apart.
You always make things so optimistically.
You could make it out of metal.
Same story at home.
Is there a rough pouring pool?
That cast board
I think in May they're going to start another evening flight back into Sheridan. So.
Yes.
And the boarding numbers have increased significantly. As of right now,
the price will drop.
What?
Does that mean the prices will drop?
No. If you sit on the board, you can get a price drop.
No.
Oh. Myra just signed up for the cast board. No, I'm kidding. They give us nothing other than a monthly meeting. And you get to look cool when you're walking through the airport. But that's about it.
I do have one more thing. In our last week at our council meeting, there was a copy of the final comp plan. PNC has it right now. Hopefully at their next meeting they'll approve it. I have had some really good feedback on it. If anyone else would like a copy, we're happy to email it to you. Moving forward.
And then it will come to council for
PNC needs adoption. To recommend.
What an exciting thing. Anything else from the table? Anybody from the press, questions? Nope. Okay. Next department head meeting, May 6th. Anybody want to guess what time and where at? Nope. Okay.
This audio was brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry in Buffalo. This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.